Good morning, everyone, and happy new year to everyone. It's great to be able to come together to celebrate our God, our Lord, our King, our Savior, and to also be able to consider His goodness in our lives. The truth is, guys, 2021 is gone. It's in the books, and many of us have looked or continue to look back and think, wow, what a year. We thought 2020 was a year, then 2021 came and blew us away. But God is still in control. Can I get an amen? Yes. We need to understand that, not just intellectually, but we need to also allow that to move in our own spirits as we consider who we are here this morning to give praises to in song and through the reading of scripture. This morning, it's my pleasure to kick things off this year. As you would have known from a while back, we had little teasers going on. This year, we continue with our theme deeper. And this in 2022, sorry, is going to be deeper still. Right, we felt as though the Spirit has spoken, and there's much to consider on this theme as it calls us to places of quietness, solitude, contemplation, and just really considering our own walk with God. So this morning, it's my pleasure to kick things off for us as a church. But even before we get into this morning's lesson, we would have already started to kick things off as we go deeper by our prayer chain, our anchor, deeper still prayer chain. And thanks to the Cunninghams family group, Alpert, and I believe there's a team there that leads that group. They are the ones who are chair, or I would say starting things off for us in our prayer chain this month, right? And please pay attention, speak to your family group leader so that when your time is up, the chain continues. We want no broken links in this chain of prayer, right? So that in the month of January, from January 1 all the way to the end, we will be able to be unified in prayer. Of course, we know that prayer is not just powerful, but it's very much a need. And maybe it's a time for you to grow in your own prayer life as a disciple. Maybe that's an area you felt as though, man, I don't know, it's kind of challenging. But I want to encourage you that it is a fascinating ride to go on to continue to grow and become more aware of God's presence in our lives and to acknowledge that through prayer and being able to listen to our Father. But obviously, we talked about this every year for the last 2 years now. We've been fasting, right? And January is our month to kick things off. Well, this year is no different. Right. And I dare say there's even more reason for us to be in a place of prayer and fasting in January as we consider all that's going on around us, but also to be able to beseech our God to continue to ask Him to protect us and to be with us as we go about our lives. From January 6th, right, through the 19th, we will be fasting as a church, right? So you'll get more instructions with regards to how we're going to do this, but it's going to begin on the 6th and end through the 19th. So please also pay attention for instructions with regards to that. So our fasting will be 14 days in all, right? And our prayer chain is for the entire month. So once we're through with our fasting period, we're continuing to pray. Okay? So even though we are fasting in that period, obviously prayer is part of what we'll be doing on a daily basis. So I trust that we will all be in the spirit realm, if I may say, as I'm sure we are every day. So we begin our journey of deeper still. You know, this morning, we begin a 13 sermon series over the next 3 months, right? And we're going to be studying out a book. And that book is none other than the book of Hebrews. And I trust and hope that as we get into the Word of God this morning, you will begin to kind of feel just the direction that we're heading in with regards to, you know, why we would have chosen this book. But it's also an opportunity for us to collectively as a church to spend some time in this one book and be able to kind of go through chapter by chapter, which is how we will be doing it, by the way. All right. So this morning, we will kick things off and we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 1. And just to give a little overview of the book of Hebrews, there's so many things that we can grab from that to understand the context of what this book is about and so on. I don't have time to give everything this morning, but I do want to highlight a few things just to kind of, just kind of whet our appetite, and hopefully you can go away and do your own Bible study and be able to have some context about what this book is about. But it was commonly called between 400 and 1600 AD, the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. I just learned that recently. Right. And there was no agreement, apparently, in the earliest centuries regarding its authorship. So, but we know that for most of us may or may not know that there are three names that have been associated with the writings of the epistle, but none have been confirmed. These three names are Paul, Barnabas, and Apollos. And just to give a little brief outline of some of the thoughts that kind of are floating around, or some of the scholars who've shared their views on why it could be or maybe not, right? Paul, right, based on the writings in this letter, the author was known by the Hebrews, right? So this case here is for one consideration of who Paul is, but also there are some stark truths with regards to what is written in this passage that maybe glean or speak to the fact that it may not have been Paul. So in Hebrews 13, right, it says what? Pray for us. So in verse 18, by the way, 13:18, pray for us. This is the last chapter in the book. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. You know, in most of Paul's writings, it's very common for him to use his name, right? And that's one of the thoughts behind whether or not Paul wrote this epistle. Some actually call it a sermon because of the style of its writing. It's really kind of speaking to the hearts of the Christians. And so there was this idea of, well, when we look at the style of Paul's writings, chances are this probably is not him, even though there is a scholarly nature of what is written. So it kind of speaks to Paul in his own history, being very, very learned in the writings of the Old Testament and so on and so forth. So, but also in chapter 2, verse 3, it says, how shall we escape if we ignore so great salvation? This salvation, right, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, right? So not only was there this consideration of one Paul being known also by these Christians, because if we go back to verse 18 in chapter 13, he says, pray for us, right? Forgive me for skipping that out. But meaning that there's a high probability that they knew him. Okay, so, but in verse 3 of chapter 2, here we see the verse helps us to conclude that the writer was not around during Jesus's ministry on earth. Because of the scholarly nature of the writings in this Hebrew epistle, Barnabas is also in view, right? He was a Jew from the priestly tribe of Levi in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, right? We see that, you know, who was versed in the Old Testament, right? He became a close friend of Paul, right? The Holy Spirit commissioned them to the work of missionary or being missionaries, right? So we see that in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. So here, these are some of the considerations of whether or not Barnabas could have been the author of the book. Apollos, on the other hand, is also a leading candidate for the authorship. His name was first suggested by Martin Luther and is favored by many scholars even today, right? Being an Alexandrian by birth, Apollos was also a Jewish Christian with a high IQ. You know, in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, Luke describes him as a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. So like Barnabas, Apollos was also associated with Paul. This we see in Corinth, where we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, 3, verse 4 to 6, and chapter 22. So based on all these different concepts and ideas of who may have possibly written this book or this epistle, we see or we know for sure that the author was well acquainted with the writings of the Septuagint, right? Which pretty much is the pre-Christian Greek translation of the Old Testament, right? And he was also a master of the Greek language of the day. Okay. When was this book written? It is believed that Hebrews was written before the destruction of the temple in AD 17. One main reason for this is the absence of any reference to the temple's destruction, which is a very significant event in the history of God's people in those days. And to whom was it addressed? Well, primarily Jewish converts who were familiar with the Old Testament and who were being tempted to revert to Judaism or to Judaize the gospel, right? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, this is Paul's writings here. He says, "When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, 'You are a Jew, yet you are like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?'" So if you follow the line of the story back then, one of the challenges that the church had was this idea of Judaism being a necessary or conversion for anyone or a Gentile, in that matter of fact. To become a Christian, you had to become a Jew first, right? And you know that Jesus came and abolished that. His ministry spoke and literally divided this wall of hostility, and no longer was there this Jew or Gentile. Of course, it took a while for the Christians to catch up with it, but isn't that human nature? Sometimes we take a little while before we get certain things, right? And that's okay. But God is obviously very patient with us. So it is believed that the most likely destination of this letter was Rome, although there are some schools of thought that it may have been going to Jerusalem as well too. So nevertheless, that's just some background context for you this morning. There's much more to consider. You can grab a study Bible and find these things there. A lot of this information is readily available to anyone who would want to study it even deeper. Okay. But the theme, as we would want to suggest here, is of this book is the absolute supremacy and sufficiency of Jesus Christ. If there's anything that we need to keep in mind as we read through this book, is the understanding of who Jesus is, right? And I think as we go into it this morning, we're going to have a greater context of that, because the author really starts off by really bringing home how should we view Jesus. You know, this morning, we begin our study of this book by looking at the first chapter, like I said before. We will not have time to preach every verse, but by the Spirit's guidance and his leading, we will receive what he has in store for us. Amen? So pray with me at this time as we, before we read and get into our lesson this morning. Our merciful, great, and awesome God, Father, this morning we praise your name, we glorify your name, and we give thanks to you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Father, fill us with joy, even though there's much sadness. Fill us with endurance, even though we feel tired. Father, give us perspective, even though we can be confused at times. Give us peace, even though, Father, there's a storm raging. Father, these are the things that you want for us, because, Father, through you, we have peace. Through you, our relationship with you allows for us to see beyond what is physical, what is carnal, what is on this earth. So we ask that you be with us this morning. As we get into your word, may it speak to our hearts. May it transform our minds and our thinking. May we be able to truly embrace what your word has in store for us. Thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. This morning we ask that you be with everyone who is in pain, who are challenged, Father. We have brothers and sisters right now in our fellowship who are challenged by just the passing of loved ones just recently, Father. You know them by name, God. And I pray that you be with every one of them. God, help us to be a family, to love, to be there for one another. Help us to allow love to conquer everything else. And I pray that, Father, through all that we're going through, God, we are able to look to you and glean from you the strength that we need, God, to do as you've called us to. Fill us with your Spirit this year. May we continue to look to him for the transformative power that we need so we can become more and more like Jesus. As we study this book, Hebrews, out, God, I pray that your Spirit will be poured out on all of us who will be speaking, and that everyone who hears, God, will be truly blessed by the reading and preaching of your word. We love you. We thank you for bringing us into a new year, 2022. And we pray that this year, God, we will glorify you. We will go deeper in our connection with you and allow that depth to bring forth fruit in our lives, God, so we can truly honor your name. Bless our time this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let us read at this time Hebrews chapter 1. It reads, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God angels worship him. And speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And we end there. So there are some amazing themes in this particular chapter that I wanted to for us to kind of just touch on. You know, one of the things we see here is the nature of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, right? There are some amazing attributes being accredited to Jesus here. And we'll delve into it a little more deeper. You know, he is the exact representation of God. You know, he is superior to all in heaven and on earth, past and present, right? So there's this big idea in view that trust Jesus. He is the last word from God. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He's superior to the angels and any angel having brought or claiming to bring a message from God. So as we get into chapter one, you know, I want to share some thoughts with us. And the title of my sermon this morning is God Has Spoken. You know, our God is alive, brothers, sisters, friends, family, right? He is not silent. He has chosen to reveal himself to humanity, right? In Psalm 19, verse 1 to 2, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. And he wants to be found. Isn't that what it says? He wants to be known. Isn't that what he's been doing? But why? Because he loves us and he wants a relationship with all of us. God has spoken. Point number one, God speaks. You know, it's interesting how this book or sermon begins. The writer's topic is God speaking. In particular, how God is speaking has spoken. You know, God spoke through the prophets in the past, and we can go to the Old Testament and read up on all the different things that he would have told the prophets to say, how to go and preach, and the names are there, right? In these last days, however, he has spoken by his Son, by Jesus. You know, how has God spoken through the prophets? Well, think about it. You know, he spoke through Daniel from visions and dreams. He spoke through Ezekiel, right? In live acted out illustrations, right? When water flowed through the rock or manna came down from heaven, That was God speaking through Moses that he would take care of his people. He also spoke through David in song, in poetry. Isn't that amazing? You know, one of the amazing things that for me personally, in my own walk with God, is that I've realized more and more how much I have to tap into all the senses that God has given me, right? It's sometimes our relationship with God can be just two-dimensional, read and pray, right? Now, we have songs that talk about that, right? You know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, right? I'm not saying that those two things aren't part of it, but there's so much more than just reading our Bibles and praying. And these are some of the things that we're going to be talking about more and more, right? This past Wednesday, we had a phenomenal teaching from our shepherds, brothers Patrick, Alan, and Duet. You know, and they reminded us of how we need to truly tap into this spiritual race and how we consider our growth before God and enduring to the end. But I want to encourage us that God has spoken to us through Jesus. And when you think about Jesus, he was a man just like you and I, right? And guess what? All the emotions that we have felt, Jesus felt as well. So he has taught us in so many ways, but he's also spoken to us through the prophets back then. You know, each of them had a chapter of the book or a scene from the movie, right? You could say, you know, Jesus, however, is the movie. Jesus is the book. He is in view always, right? There's no other. The catalyst for everything we do spiritually is Jesus, right? So, why the concern about how God is speaking? Well, three reasons we should consider. One, because who doesn't want to hear what God has to say? I mean, I would think that if God is speaking, you want to hear his voice, don't you? We all want to. We all want to know what our Creator wants to say to us. Secondly, because when God speaks, we need to listen. Yeah, we need to listen. You know, in 1 Samuel 3, the prophet Samuel, as a young boy, had to learn how to recognize God's voice, right? You know, God kept calling him, right? And Samuel kept thinking God's voice was Eli's voice. And Eli told him that when he heard the voice again, he had to say it in response. He said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Speak, for your servant is listening. I have a YouTube clip for you, fun for us this morning. Check it out.
"You'll never regret the purchase of a good stock. You don't say. Yeah, my broker says it's a real good buy. What does your broker say?
Well, my broker's E.F. Hutton. And Hutton says..."
When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
Isn't that funny? It's a very old clip, of course. Some of us may have never seen it before. I only just saw it for myself. But there's something to be told, right? Everybody, once they heard E.F. Hutton, everybody wants to listen, right? People listen, right? Well, what about today? When do we listen? Who do we pay attention to? Right? What voices are strong and have influence in our lives? And when we hear that voice, guess what? We pay attention. We stop talking. We turn off our phones. We find a quiet space so that we can hear. Is it YouTube? Is it Facebook? Maybe it's not YouTube in itself, but maybe it's a particular channel, someone who you've been following, right? I don't know if it's a spiritual person or just somebody who makes you laugh. I don't know, whatever world that you find yourself in, who are you listening to? You know, one of the contexts, when you think about it, doctors, right? Or health practitioners, persons who are experts in the field of medicine and so on, they tend to command the attention of a lot of people, right? I think about my doctor or family doctor. You know, when he speaks, we listen, right? We pay attention because we want to know what he has to say about what he is either hearing as he puts that device on your heart to hear it beating, or on your chest to see if you have a cold or whatever it may be, whatever ailment and stuff that we are feeling in our bodies. We go to the doctor and we ask, Doc, what do you have to say? And what do? We listen. You know, today, we're all looking for gurus to tell us about the next best thing. A dieting plan, exercise routine. Maybe it's an investment. Where do I put my money so it can grow? Lessons or a lessons teacher for my children. You know, I have two teenagers and who are heading into form 5 and 6 very soon. And one of the conversations I've had over the last year or so was, hey, who is the lessons teacher you are going to take your children to? Because there is a need for that in that period. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But there's always this view of, let me see who can I go to that will give me the best idea or guide me in the right way. When Jesus talks, are you listening? Are you paying attention? How many times in 2021 has Jesus spoken and not gotten a reply from you or a response? How many times has his words fallen on deaf ears? How many times has he instructed you and you just ignored him? But I'm sure we can also count the times when we did listen and we saw the results. We saw the joy in our lives increase, the peace that comes from knowing that we're in alignment with Jesus. And thirdly, who doesn't want to be misguided? You know, don't you not want to be misguided? You know, it is important to be able to recognize when God is speaking to you. It was important for these Hebrew Christians reading this as well. So like Eli, the writer has to help them recognize, to hear and to listen to the voice of God. They wanted to listen to other messengers, like the prophets and the angels. But the writer has to let them know that the way to hear God speak in these days, the last days, right, is through who? Jesus. Do you recognize God's voice this morning? Do you know when he's speaking to you? You know, God has a lot to say about many things, but sometimes we close our ears because we don't want it. He has a lot to say about who we marry, how we spend our money, how we spend our time. He has a lot to say about our parenting, about our marriages. Yes, he has a lot to say about that, husbands and wives. He has a lot to say in the Word of God about our dating lives, even our one another relationships in and outside of the church, and many other things. God has a lot to say about everything in our lives. Are we listening? You know, all these and more, God has something to say in his word, the word of Jesus. You know, sometimes we can listen to the wrong things, can we? We could even listen to the wrong people. The Bible says what? Bad company corrupts good character. So you got to be careful who you're listening to, because it can go wrong. Wrong information can come our way. I mean, we live in an information-driven world. Technology has boosted our ability to see, hear, read, and understand. Boy, oh boy, do we need to ask for wisdom? Do we need to ask for discernment? Because there's so much coming our way. You know, and because it matches sometimes with our flesh, right? When we hear these things, guess what happens? Because our desires tend to be strong, and we know what the Bible says about that in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful, right? And beyond cure. We got to be so careful about how our emotions tend to drive our decisions, brothers and sisters. So we find ourselves rationalizing and saying, nah, man, this has to be from the Lord. Have you been there before? I have. When you're so caught up in, man, this has to be it. And then you realize, wow, that was just my heart speaking. And sometimes we get so far down the road that it doesn't matter who speaks to us. We're gone in our hearts. We got to be careful. You know, even though the thing directly conflicts with God's word and his will, we still go and do it. You know, to take or not to take a certain action. Buy this thing, move or not to move here or there. Take this job. Get into or out of this relationship. Have or not have this conversation, etc., etc. Decisions. We're always having to make decisions about what to do or what not to do. When to do it, when not to do it. Right? Matthew 18 says there's conversations we need to have. But sometimes our flesh says, no, I don't want to have no conversation with that brother or that sister. I don't want to talk to my family about how I feel, or I don't want to go into that, whatever. Why? Because we're avoiding conflict. We don't want to speak truthfully. We don't want to be challenged to be patient with one another. So we decide, no, I just don't want to talk, because you're going to just tap into my patience level, which I don't have it. And we deny the power of God inside of us to allow for us to be patient. Because that's who Jesus was. That's who he was. How can we claim to be Christians? Then we avoid the very attributes of our Lord that he has lived so we can imitate. So we have to be careful, brothers and sisters. But this comes when we're not tapped in. We're not connected. We're not listening to Jesus. You know, how do you know? You know, how would the Hebrew Christians have known? You know, the prophets, the angels? No, Jesus. He is the one. You know, his example, his words. They didn't have much in the form of the New Testament to read back then, right? Even the earliest gospel, Mark, that is, was more than likely written after Hebrews was written. So they didn't have much of Jesus' words written down. But they sure had oral teachings. right? Men who would have walked with Jesus, who would have heard from men who walked with Jesus and would have been able to teach about what he had taught, right? You know, they would have had accounts and recollections about Jesus that would allow them to hear God speaking before the written word came. How do we know when God is speaking? We're blessed. Not so? I think we are. We're very, very blessed because we have the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have it. We are not like the Hebrew Christians. We have the writings of men who walked with Jesus, or in Paul's case, were directly taught by Jesus. You know, we know when God is speaking when it matches Jesus. Simple. And the word of God, you know, at the end of the day, if you cannot reconcile what you are going to do or your thoughts about something in the Bible, then there is 100% that it's not in line with God's word. Because it has to be correlated with the word of God. There needs to be unison. The Bible says, what, Timothy, watch your life and your doctrine. So everything that we do in our lives, our doctrine speaks to it. Whatever we believe as our doctrine should be reflected in how we live. But are you listening? Are we listening this morning? You know, if it does not correlate with the scriptures, then it's not God speaking. Don't forget that Satan doesn't come with two horns in his head. He comes parading as a beacon of light. He looks like any possible, I mean, he could appear in so many different ways. The Bible calls him a very sly old fox. Well, I mean, there's a song. I'm not sure if that is, the words are scriptural, but we know very well he's cunning, right? And he is definitely out to deceive, because that's his way of attacking us. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. We cannot forget, brothers and sisters, that our lives must project the life of Christ. We must live as Jesus did. That's the call for every disciple, young and old. That's the mark. You know, God is speaking because he loves us. He wants to guide us in the right path. And he will if we listen. So, my second point and last point is, are we listening? Are we listening? You know, why should they have listened to Jesus? And why should we? Because God has appointed Jesus heir of all things. In the will, Jesus gets it all. He is the man, right? He inherited everything because indeed the universe was made through Jesus. Because the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Exact, not likened. You know, like us as children, you know, people tend to speak about, well, you're just like your father, or you're just like your mother. You know, I see the resemblance. And you know, no, Jesus himself said it. You see me, you see the Father. Jesus is the exact representation of his being. You know, like a son looks like his father, like I said, Jesus is an exact representation of God. The fullest expression of God himself. Everything you want to know about God, look to who? Jesus. That's who you look to. Because Jesus sustains all things, he is, or his powerful, by his powerful word, sorry, right? The world doesn't run on coffee, right? The world doesn't run on, like they say in America, on Duncan, right? The world doesn't run on man's strength or man's power. No, the world runs on Jesus. He sustains everything. Without Jesus, nothing works. Nothing works. He keeps everything going. And because after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. There were no chairs in the Old Testament tabernacle. Something to consider, right? So it meant that the priests never finished their work because they were always sacrificing there were always sacrifices to be made for sins. So they were always on their feet, right? So the Old Testament priests never sat down. However, when Jesus died for our sins, he sat down. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." He's done. The work is done, brothers and sisters. We should rejoice. We should be glad to know that we no longer have to go and sacrifice bulls and rams and goats, because what? Jesus himself came and was that sacrificial lamb, so we can all have eternal life with God. It was like a first century drop mic moment, right? Yeah, that's how Jesus did it. It is finished. And then he sat down at the right hand of God. Now, that's why we should listen to him over a prophet or an angel or a flesh or our feelings. He's gone to the cross. He's been buried. He's risen again on the third day to provide purification for our sins. Who else has done that or will do that? No one. No one. You know, God doesn't just speak to his faithful followers. He speaks to those on the fringe, to those who have never come to him, to those, you know, he speaks to the backslidden, those who have wandered away from the truth or from the church, the body of Christ. He speaks to those who have very weak or no relationship with him. And Proverbs 1:20 says, "Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gates, she makes her speech." Wisdom. She comes from God. Now, God is speaking. If this period, if this pandemic hasn't jolted you, then I don't know what will. But I'm pretty sure at some point in time, we had to ponder, what is God saying? He wants my attention. He is saying something. God is speaking. But are you listening? Come to Jesus. Sit down with one of the members of our church. Learn to hear the voice of Jesus through reading his word and listening to it. How to put your faith in him, the one who has died for your sins, not yourself. Let Jesus change your mind about the world and your life. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Church, are we listening to the Son of God this morning? Our hearts, like Samuel, speak, for your servant is listening. Not just somewhere listening for my name, right? We love that, huh? I love that song. When the Savior call, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. Right? So we were listening for our name, right? No, I'm talking about now. Are we listening right now? Even before the time of judgment, before the time when Jesus comes back. But he wants us to be listening even now so we can do the good works that he wants for us to do. How to live our lives in accordance with his will. And to keep our lamps filled with oil. Listening for his voice. Paying attention. Sifting through what the SoundCloud artists and Disney Plus actors are saying. Or on Flow or Digicel or what have you. Blocking out what the 24-hour news channels have to say. CNN, TV6, BBC, CNC3, whatever news websites that you have, what is wherever your fancy is, right? And turning down what our frazzled thoughts are saying and asking. It's amazing how much goes on in our minds that take up time. Lord, what do you have to tell me? That's what we need to be saying. What do you have for me today? In this situation, in this moment, speak. When you say speak, when you ask for him to speak, you gotta listen. I want to hear. I want to obey. I don't want to be misguided. That should be our posture. We've got to listen and pay attention to God's messenger. How? Where? Well, in his word, the scriptures, in the word of God, in the word of truth, the fountain of life. We need to plant ourselves by the rivers of water. That is not the water in Maracas, you know. We're talking about the water, which is the word of God. We're not talking about the river up in St. Anne's. No, we're talking about the word of God. Spending time in it, soaking in it, allowing it to truly infuse in us and change us. You know, we can't pump our heads all day long with the music and the jokes and the entertainment of this world and talk about how we're listening to God. That's the reality, guys. You get what you focus on. Right? So don't go complaining about how I'm not hearing God's voice when you're not listening, when you're not quieting yourself to hear him. And I say that maybe it come across stinging, but in a loving way as well, because trust me, I believe that this is a battle we must win. We must win this battle of the noise that is coming our way, brothers and sisters. You know, it's not possible for us to draw close to God if the world has our attention. God says we should not love this world. And so we need to be careful because we'll be deceiving ourselves. We've got to open the Bible, open a Bible app or audio Bible, or have someone read the scriptures to us. You just figure it out. Find a way, right? We have each other. Let's figure it out, brothers and sisters. You know, we've been talking about meditation. You know, how many of us have really decided, you know, man, I'm going to try this meditation. I really appreciate my brother, Chilan. He called me last week and he said, bro, can we hook up to meditate? I've never done it before. I'd love to spend some time. And guess what? You know, we got some time. on Thursday morning to be able to meditate together. It was great, you know? And I really appreciate him calling me and reaching out like that. You know, but who are you reaching out to? You know, before I learned about meditation, I reached out to people who I could talk about it and understood and got to learn more and more. And that's why I could pass it on now. But isn't that how the spirit works? On an individual basis, one by one, and then it transfers. Yeah. That's how God wants to speak to us as well, too. So, in your faith, brothers and sisters, will soar. I guarantee you that. You know, the Bible says what faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So are we listening? Are we reading his word? Are we planting our feet by the spiritual river, the word of God? Are we being sustained by him as opposed to the world? God has spoken. He's spoken fully and completely through his son, Jesus Christ, heir of all things. If we listen, we will hear what he's saying. We won't be misguided. Our faith will increase and he'll lead us down the right path as we obey him. So in 2022, brothers, sisters, friends, and family, and beyond, as we go deeper still, let's start by focusing on the voice of our Father, acknowledging that God has spoken. God bless you. And again, Happy New Year to everyone.